You're listening to the Fantrax Radio Network. Fantasy sports lives here.
Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
It's hard to return a monkey these days.
I'm going to have to do some more research on this to see exactly what these zombie raccoons are doing.
What good was the snow guy?
Well, last I heard, he had some Velcro gloves and he was hanging out with some sheep in Montana.
I do a lot of Zumba.
Y'all don't understand. I never seen so many Dominican women with cinnamon tans.
You're Macaulay Culkin, and you're just running around your house.
Don't tweet me if you drink the strawby. No strawby.
Zardoz.
Well, speaking of garbage, it's the Nasty Cast. Welcome, everybody, into episode 162 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Nathan Dockin, whom you can find on the Twitter at Nathan Dockin. Joined per usual by Van Cat Fancy Lee.
Never say to who, always say to whom. So very good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. To whom else do we have the pleasure? Ron Cosmopolitan Rigney.
Is that like 10 ways to please your man or whatever, Cosmo? Isn't that what they do?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
How many ways do you know to please your man, Ron?
Yeah, give us some tips, man.
I don't have a man, so I guess I don't know any because I don't have one.
Those magazines crack me up because it's like, it's not hard, ladies. Like, guys are kind of easy. Like, yeah, I can get a little more intricate, but sure. For the most part, it's a really easy, like, one way to please your man. That's all you need.
It is. Well, there are some other tips that would work, like, you know, make him a sandwich. I like a sandwich.
Sure, sure. I don't think that's what they focus on in those magazines.
Some bonus tip.
Maybe I've in never Cat seen, Fancy they do.
I've never seen a sandwich on the cover of Cosmo, I don't think.
Well, they should.
I like how they put, like, the in the supermarket, too, they put, the like, the little thing that, like, blurs the cover of it. Like, you can't still see what it is.
Oh, like the fuzzy wrapping thing. No, they don't do that here, but that's usually just in porn.
No, they do that for Cosmo down here too for some reason. I don't know. Maybe like the older retired people got offended. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What's your favorite publication? Tweet us at NastyCastPod. You can also find Van at ManlyVanLee and Ron is at TheRealMade. You can also email us at NastyTraxPods@gmail.com. That's Trax, T-R-A-X. And Van, before I forget, I was going to kick it out to you for something that you wanted to contribute to the show that I've already forgotten about.
Yeah, talking about Fantrax. So basically, we met with Jay Soderberg. For fans who are listening, if you don't know who that is, that's the former Pod Vader who basically started the ESPN Fantasy Focus 0610 podcast. He's since moved on. He's no longer with ESPN. He's with Blog Talk Radio, now Spreaker, which they've combined. Long story short, we at Fantrax met with him, talked to him, and we're kind of finding a way to push our shows forward and grow our brand and so forth. And we've discovered a couple of different ways we're going to do that. But what I really wanted to talk about was that the NastyCast will be officially joining the Fantrax team. We've talked about that for a while, and we've kind of unofficially been on the team. But we're going to transfer the feed to Spreaker from Blog Talk Radio. Now, for your subscribers, that doesn't mean a whole lot. All you have to do is stay subscribed. You don't have to change anything. You're still going to get the same episodes and feed. Nothing is really going to change for you. It's mostly just going to change some stuff on the back end for us. But if there is an issue, maybe you go to download next week's show or something or other and you can't find it, let me know, because if there are any issues, I need to be able to fix those and get those worked out. But that's the gist of it. We're going to be transferring over to that. We're going to be making the NastyCast a huge focus of FantraxHQ.com, Fantrax Podcast Network and all that. So keep an eye out for basically everything we're doing. We're going to get some better advertisement spots. We're going to be pushed a little bit harder, and hopefully we're going to be growing exponentially and getting even more listeners. And we already do pretty well, considering we're just some three dudes doing
not
this.
Not well enough.
But we can do better.
Global domination is at our fingertips.
That's right. So exciting things are coming at Fantrax HQ. So check us out, fantraxhq.com. There's a podcast link if you want to do the podcast. Nate, you and I write for Fantrax. You can find our writings on there, all kinds of stuff. So check us out. I do Reddit AMAs every couple of weeks when last week's Fantrax Dynasty baseball guest and this week's, I guess, Eric Cross doesn't do them. I do them. So, I mean, we do all kinds of stuff over there. So definitely go check us out and see what we've got coming up the pipe.
Don't check me out. You can cash me outside, baby. No, it's I was fortunate enough to speak with Jay Soderberg again in the past. And, yeah, great guy. And the old 06-010 podcast were the inspiration with Barry and Ravitz and Jay, you know, for this whole podcast back in the day. So, super cool to have his backing. So let's see, how can you back the show? You can rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us, and that helps us a lot. You can also donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/nastypod. And we did record last week a bonus podcast for those of you who subscribe to our Patreon. And that is coming along, correct, Ben?
Yeah, it's been a whole ordeal. So what you can do on Patreon is, if you're a host, I suppose, you can post audio files, video files, whatever you want, and make it available to either the public, your Patreon donors, so people who donate anything, certain groups or dollar amounts of your Patreon donors, whatever it may be. So I'm trying to make this available to just our donors, so it's a special thing for them. And for whatever reason, the website won't post it. It gives me an error message. So maybe a day after we recorded it, I tried to post it and that happened. I sent a question to the Patreon support team. Didn't hear a response until this weekend. Finally got back. Well, aside from the cursory, we have your question. We will answer it soon. So finally got the response this weekend. Tried what they asked me to do, which basically boiled down to restart your computer. Guess what? That doesn't work. So yeah, still not able to post. So what I had to do was go through and screenshot every single click that I made in posting this and send this to this girl who is basically just telling me this shouldn't be happening. So clearly you're doing something wrong. It's one of those, and it's driving me nuts. It's like, I have done everything you've asked. Oh, it's just that grates on me when people tell me that, when I'm doing exactly what they say. So anyway, we're working on it and hopefully it'll be up soon. If it's a couple more days and we don't have any results, I'll just put it on YouTube for everybody to hear and then work out the kinks. And then for future special creepypasta episodes, we'll make those available just to the Patreon donors.
Very good. So, yeah, definitely want to make that, if possible, just for Patreon subscribers only. But we're on it. We're working on it. Patreon is shafting us a little bit. But
well, I think they've had a lot of issues because they keep talking about how, I guess, their like backlog of questions is coming up, so it's nuts.
Oh, fun. All right, well, let's see. What else do we have in housekeeping? Listen to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. We've got part two of our midseason top 100 prospects going on. Like you mentioned earlier, Van, we've got Eric Cross on this week's episode as well as last week's episode, so go check those out. But on today's show, we've got some call-ups to discuss, a couple of injuries. We're going to talk a whole slew of players we've got in this week's waiver wire, pretty extended waiver wire segment this week. But before we get into the news, Ron, I kind of wanted to get your take on this new Rays stadium business. Of course, being a Rays fan down there in Florida, you and Florida man always hanging out, causing trouble. this looks like it won't work. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's a couple things here. And, you know, as we know, baseball in Florida just doesn't work well. And it's amazing to me that the two teams that are here have stayed here as long as they have. And it's still not a slam. You know, I don't think it's quite a done deal just yet that the stadium's going to be built. But the thing that I look at it is, I kind of compare it to what the Marlins did with their stadium, because as we know, they played their first however many years at Dolphin Stadium, which it's annoying to have, you know, people complain about having a dome stadium in Florida. And I'm all for it just for the simple fact in the summertime, it rains every day. It's hot, it's humid. You know, I've driven to Marlins games before when they played at Dolphin Stadium, where we've driven the hour and a half to get there and the game gets rained out and you have to turn around and go home. You got delayed start times. And so it makes sense to have a dome stadium. And the Marlins, I think, did that right with the retractable roof stadium. But one of the things I noticed when I go to Marlins games is I think what they're trying to do to boost a little bit of attendance is they're not trying to be the marquee attraction. As we know, the new Marlins Stadium is built where the old Orange Bowl was just more of a downtown Miami location. And I what I notice a lot of times when I go to games is you see people that have kind of the primo seats in the back, kind of behind home plate and, you know, first baseline and all that. And one of the things I notice is a lot of the people get there kind of fashionably late and they're dressed like they're going to go out on the town a little bit. And I think what the Marlins are trying to do is get that to kind of just be part of your evening out. You know, you come to the game for a little bit, you go, and then, you know, you go to the clubs, you go to the bars, whatever. I think the Rays might be kind of trying to do that as well. Now, as far as other land sites they looked at, I'm not really familiar with that, but they're looking at putting it in Ybor City. And my take on it is I think they might be trying to do what the Marlins are doing, is if they can get you in the stadium for a little while, have a few drinks, and then you go and you – because there's a lot of fun stuff to do in Ybor City. It's a neat little area. I think that's kind of what they might be going for, to get you to the ballpark for a little while. And then, you know, you make it as kind of part of your Sunday out with your family in Ybor City, because there is a little bit of family-friendly stuff to do there. And they have a pretty cool nightlife scene as well. So I think that's kind of what they're going for. But it's one of these things that it boggles my mind that either one of these teams, especially the Rays, as much as I love the Rays, can get this done. Because when you look at the games on a Tuesday night and they announce that there's 6,000 people there, I think that they just add a zero on to whatever the real number is, because it's not really it's crazy how empty that place is. And so, you know, a lot of people are kind of laughing about, you know, how they're getting the stadium. It looks beautiful. Plans look really cool. $900 million. So we'll see if it gets built. But that's kind of my take on it. It'll be exciting. But for me personally, coming from where I live in Fort Myers in the South, it'll take me longer to get there. I like where the Trop is at. A lot of people talk about the Trop being a dump. I mean, it's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's just kind of a stadium, but I'm not looking forward to driving the extra whatever it's going to be to get there. But they're thinking as well, if they put it more in Tampa and not the St. Pete area also, possibly that might draw some more people in. So we'll see. I don't know if it's going to have a big impact on attendance or not.
Hey, guys, where do you think this salsa came from? Ybor City. That's a little paste picante salsa joke for our listeners out there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if they're known for their salsa, though.
I hope so. They're going to be now.
They're known for their cigars, though.
Are they? I don't know anything about it. It sounds like an old, like, Nordic god, Ybor, like the god of pencils or something or other.
One of the first times I went there, I actually saw Jim Gaffigan at the Improv there.
Oh, did he talk about food? Boy, that's a real reach, isn't it?
Hot Pockets.
Don't get me wrong, I like Jim Gaffigan, but his whole bit is food. Every single bit, food.
Yeah.
And his, like, nine children?
Yeah. It was very early on, though, so it was way early on in the progression of his album, so it was food stuff, but it was food jokes you hadn't heard before, so.
Gotcha.
I don't judge him for that at all, because most of the tangents that I make when I'm writing, whether it's on Razzball or Fantrax HQ, is about food.
I
get distracted easily.
Your kindred spirits.
I think so. Speaking of kindred spirits, Kyle Tucker, man, he's your boy, isn't he? He's been promoted to the Astros. Hooray, huzzah. He's been killing it in the minors. You can't say that he did not deserve it. 371 plate appearances at AAA, 14 homers and 14 steals, hitting over 300 with a 370 on base, 520 slug. So what do you think? Are we seeing full-time at-bats here for Kyle Tucker?
Well, I guess I was kind of – I would be puzzled if he didn't get full-time at-bats. I think he should, and I think he deserves it. And I think calling them up – means that they're going to give him those. I mean, if you look at the depth charts, it's what? Tony Kemp, Marwin Gonzalez, Jake Mariznick, Josh Reddick, like any of those guys, aside from George Springer, we'll say that. We know Springer's really good. Tucker could be better than any of the other guys, so why not just let him run? So I'm in the camp that I believe he's going to get full-time at-bats because he deserves it. Whether that happens, we'll see. But if I have that belief, then I'm basically thinking that he's has the chance to steal 10 bases and hit 10 home runs the rest of the way if he gets full-time playing at bats. And that's going to be really hard to find on the waiver wire. So I think if for whatever reason he's still out there or you haven't had any fab spin on him or anything, then I would definitely be buying, because I do expect to get some really good counting stats out of him. He struggled in the 11 plate appearances he has so far, but it's a very small sample size. And like you said, in the minors, he was tearing the cover off the ball. So I like him. I think he's worth definitely a big pickup, a big fab budget spend. And if you've got him on your team, plug him in and play him until they send him down, basically.
Yeah, and as we talked about too, they're one of those teams that can call up a guy like this. Remember, he is only 21, so there is going to be some growing pains there most likely. But he's one of these guys on one of these teams that the Astros can afford to call him up and let him kind of figure things out. So if he does struggle a little bit, they can keep him up, and they don't necessarily have to count on his production, and anything they get from him is a bonus with that lineup they have. The one thing I'm interested to see, though, is he is slated for left field, and right now Marwin Gonzalez is at shortstop because Correa is on the DL. So I'm interested to see how that kind of shakes out. But, you know, of all the guys that you just mentioned, Van, Kyle Tucker is leaps and bounds beyond any of those guys that you mentioned. So it'll be interesting to see who's the odd man out. Does somebody get traded? Does somebody get sent down? Because they do have a pretty deep outfield, but I don't really understand why they would call him up if they're not going to let him stay up unless he just absolutely falls flat on his face. But even so, I think they let him figure it out a little bit. So yeah, I think he's definitely worth chasing and throwing some fab at for sure.
Yeah, he's got to be an all formats ad, at least speculatively, but I think if they're going to call him up, they're just going to let him fly. So yeah, we've obviously, you see the power and the speed combination. It's pretty rare, especially for a kid his age. So, you know, and they do have the versatility too. You know, left-handed bats a lot of times, especially when you get to the major leagues, maybe you struggle against same-sided pitching. And so they can even platoon him to kind of shelter him if they want to right at the get-go. And, you know, if he does struggle against lefties, then that will probably only help you, because then you don't have to worry about your batting average falling against left-handed pitching. But yeah, definitely all formats add for me for sure. Another call-up as Eniel De Los Santos, and he is starting for the Phillies this very evening, I do believe. He was acquired from the Padres this past offseason in a trade for Freddie Galvis, and he's been great. 16 starts for the AAA Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. He's got a 189 ERA, under a K per nine, but pretty solid control, 2.93 walks per nine. Guy that I've always kind of liked. Ron, do you think that Eniel De Los Santos is here to stay, or is this more of just a spot start before the All-Star break?
I think it's more of just kind of a spot start, because, I mean, I don't know necessarily if you can kind of look at him in the same way as you look at Kyle Tucker, that he has nothing left to really prove. He is at AAA. He was stranding 92% of runners in 95 innings. That's obviously way up from his career that strand rate that kind of hovers around 69 to mid-70s there. I don't know necessarily. The first thing I kind of thought of was Nick Kingham getting called up, and not to say that they're the same pitcher, but you know, when we saw Nick Kingham come up, he had a really strong first start, and he was kind of been just a guy since then. He's been solid, but he hasn't been as dominant as he was in that first start, which it's not necessarily something that, you know, we would believe that he would be able to continue. I think one of the things that's kind of intriguing about him is if he doesn't necessarily shake out as a starter, he's got some pretty solid bullpen potential. So I don't know necessarily if they might put him in the pen, or if he'll stick as a starter. I was trying to search out how he fared tonight, though. I'm trying to find it here.
6 1/3 innings, 3 earned, 6 Ks, 5 hits, 3 walks. So quality start, not great, but okay.
Okay, so it's one of those things too that it might be a case of you might see a couple of nice starts here until some other teams figure him out. But I don't know if I'd necessarily go out and chase him just yet. If you have a bench spot and it's a deeper league, maybe you could add him as kind of speculatory. But I don't know necessarily if he's up to stay just yet. It'll be kind of interesting to see how it shakes out once they kind of get done with the All-Star break and get back into their normal rotation.
I'm glad you pointed out the left-on-base percentage, Ron, because if you go look at his stats on FanGraphs or Baseball Reference or whatever your site is, the FIP and XFIP and Sierra numbers are all significantly higher than the 189 ERA he posted in AAA, and a lot of that can be attributed to that left-on-base percentage. The BABIP's down a bit, too, from his career rate, so it's expected that, you know, unless there's a huge change here, which none of the other pitch metrics say there is, that that's likely going to rise. So really, in my opinion, he's just kind of a guy. He could be a good number three starter if everything pans out. If it doesn't pan out, he's going to be one of those innings eaters, just one of those guys that has a 4.25 ERA, throws a whole bunch of innings, doesn't kill your ratios, but he's just kind of there. I don't know if he's really up to stay right now. I'm kind of going to bank that he isn't, just because of how Vincent Velasquez has actually been semi-successful this season. So once he comes back from the DL and his forearm thing, I think they probably shuffle De Los Santos back down. But I also think there's a big chance that, I mean, look, we've got Zach Eflin in this rotation. We've got Vincent Velasquez. Any of these guys could either implode or get hurt at any moment. So I think there is a chance he comes back up and throws some innings. I don't know how much I would spend on him. It's not going to be a lot. If I'm desperate for pitching, I might put a 10% fab bid in, but that's going to be about the extent of it. I wouldn't want to spend a whole lot more just because I don't think you're going to get a whole lot out of him.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the spot start notion here as well. Velasquez, I believe, is expected back after the All-Star break. So probably don't need, if you already missed this start, then you probably don't need to go out and grab him. But, you know, I do think he is kind of a mid-rotation guy in the long run, plus changeup to go with a really nice fastball. Doesn't have a huge off-speed pitch, and that's really his only shortcoming. But number 53, I think it is, on my midseason top 100, number 53. So we discussed that, obviously, if you listen to this week's Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. So moving on to some more positive news. Well, we're going to mix in some negative news, I guess, as well. But Chris Bryant will be back tomorrow, finally, after a lengthy stay on the disabled list. And on the flip side, Yasiel Puig is going to the disabled list with an oblique strain. It's going to cost him at least 2 to 3 weeks, probably more than that. But Van, his direct replacement is Andrew Tolles. Do you have any interest in Tolles?
Very, very minor interest, simply because he is going to play in a semi-decent lineup anyway. And he does have a little bit of speed and a little bit, well, not much power, but a little bit. I think the biggest problem with him has been injuries over the last couple of years. He's constantly getting hurt. But if he is truly healthy after the knee injury last year and he does get some playing time, sure. I mean, he's a guy who could potentially hit 280, 300. He's not going to get a base a ton, but that batting average will help a little bit. And he's not going to hit for a ton of power, but he does hit for a little bit. So I think if he can actually stay in the lineup, play consistently, sure, if you need an outfield bat that's not going to kill you, I think he's there. Puig, I just wanted to mention on him, I mean, it's just more of the same. He was having a pretty mediocre year. I don't think it was crappy, but it also wasn't great. 265 average, 325 OBP, 462 slugging, 11 homers, 7 steals. He was netting you some stuff, but now he's hurt again. So with Puig, you're either going to get the hurt guy, the mediocre guy, or the good guy. And the good guy only comes out once every 6 years, seemingly. So it's another guy that I'm just going to avoid. And
like a cicada.
Much like a cicada. You know, sticks to a tree, molts his little skin thing, and then you find little husks around.
I think we've just discovered a nickname for the Puig.
The cicada, yeah. He's also really noisy. I bet he would be noisy, so that's a good indicator of it, too.
Well, he made a lot of noise on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Body issue this past week.
Did he? Where they, you know, conveniently angled him where his dick isn't out.
Yes, there was oddly enough, a bunch of peanuts in the way.
What?
Yeah, he had like a tray, like he was peanut guys in the crowds that walk around. Get your hot nuts here.
So
one of those guys.
So that's not at all like usually those are about showcasing an athlete's body. Now it's just a whole gimmicky thing. They're just like peanuts joke.
I, you know, they had to have known that people were going to take it like that.
That's true.
I don't know. Usually they try to keep it somewhat classy.
Wow.
Except when they had Prince Fielder on there one day.
That's amazing. That was the best. His big, lumpy body.
Speaking of, when are we going to start working on the Nasty Cast bodies issue?
No one would watch that.
We're going to put that out to Patreon subscribers. Everybody will cancel.
I was going
to
say, yeah, we're going to have zero Patreon subscribers.
Everybody cancels. But Ron, so what is your takeaway between Chris Bryant and Yasiel Puig?
Good for Chris Bryant because I have him in one place. I'm not really interested in Andrew Tolles at all. I was looking through Fantrax here for some outfield help that you could go get. Stephen Piscotty's out there. He's not owned in a whole lot of leagues. I just hit the button to show how many he's owned in, and I just lost it. So
the answer was not many.
Yeah, not too many. I'm looking for a few deeper league guys. A guy that's out here that, as far as counting stats, I don't necessarily think you're going to get a whole heck of a lot. But as far as OBP and average, guy that I really like a lot in those two categories is Albert Almora. He's only owned in 47% of leagues. As you go down the list here, there's some useful guys out there. So I don't think you have any real need to add Andrew Tolles. If you are in there's some pretty good options here as far as deep league and shallow league Fantrax wise. On a side note, I wanted to throw in as well, shout out to the Dodgers the other week for one of their giveaways was a Yasiel Puig bank. So I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Yeah. Very good. So.
Well done. Yeah. Max Kepler too in 65% of leagues. Yeah, man. good stuff. Jesse Winker, not quite as good as Jesse Blinker, but let's see. Who else do we have? I think, well, that's it. We're going to take a break. I was kind of worried about, what do you guys think about Chris Bryant's lack of power? Is that, do you feel better now that he's quote unquote healed?
Well, I think one thing to be wary about is the injury he's coming off of. It might sap a little bit of power. However, I think there's kind of this big push amongst fantasy baseball players that are becoming really disappointed, because in 2016, of course, he hit 39 homers. Last year, he fell to 29 homers. This year, he's on pace for, oh, I guess if he got 650 at-bats, maybe 25 home runs. So clearly, the power isn't quite what it was from a few years ago. But what I'll point out is he's still a guy that walks 10-plus percent of the time. He doesn't strike out a whole lot. The batting average is pretty darn good. It's down this year, and it's still 280. So, I mean, if you've got a 280, 380, 480, 500 slugging player, they're still going to be really, really good. Maybe he's not a first-round talent, but if you can get him in the second round, then you're going to get a really good player. I think maybe you should be a little less concerned about the home runs just because he is going to give you a ton of counting stats and everything else. So I really do like Chris Bryant, and I think if you could find an owner that's kind of down on him, cough, Nate, maybe you should trade him to me in every league.
Well, the only league that I have him in this year, weirdly enough, just because obviously I'm a huge Chris Bryant fan, but the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League is the only place that I have him, and he's not going anywhere.
Of course.
But, yeah, with the, I don't know, with the
I've
shoulder
got Max
injury,
Kepler.
It does kind of, well, there you go. That's done deal.
Add Logan Morrison, Van, and you'll have a deal.
Perfect.
I think I've already got Logan Morrison on that team.
Damn it.
You haven't cut him already?
No. He hasn't been great. He started off just horrendously, but he was actually, there's a month there where he was actually pretty good. But I think he's back to sucking again now, along with the rest of the Twins. We'll talk about some more Twins later on. But I am a little bit worried about the shoulder injury, maybe lingering as far as sapping power the rest of the year. But I don't know, dynasty-wise, I'm not any lower on him. But I'm a little less optimistic, I think, on buying low right now. But with that sad bit of news, we're going to take a break and come out on the other side much, much happier.
Nasty. 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 Nasty.
Welcome back to the Nasty Cast, everybody, and it is time for everybody's favorite segment, The Waiver Wired. We are going to start out with the illustrious Mark Reynolds. Last 29 at-bats, he is hitting .483, 4 bombs, and 13 RBI. Of course, 10 of those RBI came in one game. Ron, what do you think about Mark Reynolds, superstar?
Superstar. I mean, one of the things that I noticed about him, and shout out to Mark Reynolds, because it's one of these guys that, you know, he starts like every season, like the past 5 or 6 years, and he doesn't have a team, and he gets signed, and he ends up playing really well. Like, he's played better in that role than he has when he's had a full-time gig with the team, I think. And one of the things that as I was looking through his stats here, and I'm not going to break him down too deep because we know what he is. You know, he strikes out a lot. He has a lot of pop, and that's kind of his MO. But he's going to hit 300 home runs for his career this season, which, it's not as illustrious as a number as it used to be. But I never would have pegged Mark Reynolds for having 300 career home runs until I kind of dove into the numbers here. I mean, I know he's got some 30-plus home run seasons here. He had 44 one year with the D-backs, but he's also got some seasons where he's hit .198, .196, .220. So pretty good career here for Mark Reynolds. But as far as fantasy standpoint this season, I mean, you know, he is hitting .297. He has a .365 OBP. He does have the 10 bombs, like you said. He's worth an add if you can find him in a league where you might need some power potential. He may not be a guy that's going to get you full-time at bats, you know, depending upon what the rest of the lineup looks like, but I think he's worth an ad if he's out there in your league for sure.
I think I'm going to challenge the notion of we know what Mark Reynolds is, because a couple of years ago he completely reinvented himself. Like, in the past he was a 30 plus percent strikeout player who batted .210 with an okay on base percentage because he walked a ton and good power. But a couple years ago, let's see, it looks like in 2016 was when he hit .282 in 441 plate appearances. we can clearly see now that we have at least, you know, 2.5 years of sample here, that in that season, he changed. He adjusted the way he plays baseball, and he's now a guy who can hit for a decent average. He hit 282 that year, 267 last year. He's batting 297 this year. He's still walking, if not 10%, very close to it all the time. He's got a ton of power. I was kind of perplexed that he didn't have a job for so long. And then it seems when the season started, he, of course, still didn't have a job. And then when he got signed and picked up by the Nationals, I remember picking him up in a few leagues, and I played him that day. He had the 10 RBI in a deep dynasty league that I'm sitting in second place in. So I'm really reaping the benefits of a guy that just no one seems to want. Now, I know there's a plethora of these, you know, corner infielders who can hit for a lot of power, who can't really play defense. I mean, we talked about Logan Morrison off air just a second ago. But I think Mark Reynolds is really the cream of the crop. Now, I know he's older. He's 34. So maybe he doesn't have quite as long of a leash. But, I mean, look, we saw Paul Konerko play till, what, age 38 and continue doing what he was doing. So I think there's still a chance that Mark Reynolds has a few more years left in him where he's a 30-home run threat who can bat 270. And I think that's immensely valuable, even if it is just a corner infielder. You can slap him in your utility spot. And if you go look at this season's ratios here, I'm going to pull it up for first baseman. It is absolutely abysmal. So per FanGraphs on the WAR section, which WAR is not necessarily accurate for...
I mean, what is it good for?
What is it good for? It's not really accurate for telling fantasy entirely, because it also factors in defense. But for the most part, it does a good enough job. I mean, your top first basemen are Freddie Freeman, Paul Goldschmidt, Brandon Belt, Jesus Aguilar, Matt Carpenter, and Joey Votto. And then from there, it starts to get even murkier. You've got Cody Bellinger, who's really turned it on lately, so he's all right. But he's still only batting 240. Matt Olson is next, 19 homers, 238 average. Carlos Santana is the number 9 first baseman. Jose Martinez, number 10. CJ Cron, 11. I mean, Mark Reynolds is valuable enough because of how horrible the first base position has been this season and in seasons past. So I think he's a really good player, and I'm adding him. If he's not on a team in a league, I'm adding him in every single league.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a pickup for me as well. Like you said, as bad, weirdly enough, as first base has been. You know, his competition primarily is Matt Adams, who's, you know, he's had his moments too over the last couple of years. But, you know, Reynolds, he really doesn't have huge platoon splits. So if they wanted, if he just keeps hitting, they could give him a full-time job. Yeah, the power is definitely exaggerated right now. 33% home run for fly ball is not going to maintain. And he's only hitting, 37, 38% fly ball. So the power will definitely tick down. But it's, I mean, you're looking at a pretty small sample size. So pretty easy to say that 126 plate appearances so far. But yeah, for sure, he's a pickup for me.
Well, real quick before we move on, a couple things I kind of caught on to here. Number one, I don't think going into the season anybody would have thought that your leaders for the offensively for the Nationals would have been Matt Adams, Mark Reynolds, and Juan Soto. I don't think anybody would have picked that. The other thing is, and Van, as you kind of explained in that, it made me kind of think of something here. I wonder if it's a scenario where, you know, we've talked about guys like Felix Hernandez and CC Sabathia kind of hitting that mid-30s mark, trying to reinvent who they are because they can't, you know, blow up by guys anymore. So they have to kind of learn to be a little bit more technically sound and with the control and just kind of mix up their pitches. I wonder if that's kind of the same thing maybe that happened to Mark Reynolds, where he kind of got to that halfway, you know, he's about 31, 32 when he figured that out. And maybe he's, you know, changed some things, and, you know, the power is still kind of there, but he did have a few years where the power was down a little bit, but with the 282 and the 267, I wonder if that's something that he kind of looked at maybe as a hitter as well. You know, the fact that he thought maybe he couldn't muscle it out like he used to be able to. So he kind of actually focused on, working on his swing mechanics, maybe something like that. So just a theory that I kind of thought of while you were explaining that.
All right. I think that covers Mark Reynolds pretty well. Let's talk about some bullpens real quick, shall we? We have Will Smith is the first guy on this waiver wire list.
Yeah. What? Jiggy, jiggy. What? There, I just sang an entire Will Smith song. I got it out of my system.
You missed the MIBs when he was talking about that.
MIBs. There you go.
Starting at 4, chilling with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days. Oh, sorry. Will Smith.
Break it out. All right, we're going to get sued now. Anyway,
oh, we are. That's right. We got to bleep all that out, don't we?
Damn it.
Yep. That's going to just be a long bleep right there. But he's got 3 straight saves for the Giants in between his acting career. So, Van, Is he the guy to own now in San Francisco?
Absolutely. In fact, I just wrote an article for Fantrax HQ where I discussed closer targets for the rest of the season, and he's absolutely the guy for me. I think it's kind of telling that Bruce Bochy, who is an old-school manager down to a T, has not gone back to Mark Melancon as the closer. I think they're going to give him the rest of the season to work on stuff. I still think Melancon comes back as the closer next year if he's healthy and at least semi-productive because of the big contract and just the concept of, you know, closers. But for now, Hunter Strickland's going to be out until late August, and he broke his pinky because he got angry and punched a wall. So, I mean, clearly there's a little bit of anger issues going on. So who knows if he has the real mentality to continue being an elite closer. And not to mention that's 6 to 8 weeks anyway. So in the interim, Will Smith has really risen to become cream of the crop here. And he's a good enough pitcher. I mean, a few years ago, he was one of the best relief pitchers on the market until he got hurt, that he could become and be an absolutely shut down closer. I mean, right now he's got a 103 RA. FIP, XFIP, Sierra, they all like him. They're in the 1 to 2.5 range as far as their ERA estimator. I mean, he strikes out a ton of batters. He doesn't give up that many walks. The platoon splits are really good, even though he's a lefty. Gets right-handers out just as well. So I'm all aboard the Will Smith train, not only because of his name and the fact that he does, in fact, get jiggy with it, and the fact that we are in the Willinium right now, but he's a quality pitcher, and I think he's going to lead the team in saves.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Hunter Strickland too. It's it'd be hard for me as a manager, especially if I have somebody that's performing as well as Will Smith. When Hunter Strickland comes back, it would be difficult for me to trust a guy that broke his own hand punching a wall to seal the deal in the ninth inning for a victory for my team. But when we talked about this bullpen a couple weeks ago, Will Smith was my favorite then, and that's kind of panned out fairly well. He's got 37 Ks, 26 innings for a 12.65 K per nine. So I think he's the guy that stays in a role. But Van, I agree 100% with what you said, that Melancon gets every crack at this job next year, because that's the main reason they gave him all that money. So they need to kind of justify what they paid him and see if that pans out. But I think they like Tony Watson in kind of that mid relief role. He's got 22 holds. I also was looking at their stats here. I think they might want to try what the Rays do with that bullpen start every fifth day, because their bullpen is way better than their starting five for sure.
Wicca wicca wall, wicca wild wild west.
I still prefer Independence Day myself.
Oh my gosh.
Classic. Bill Pullman.
Can't I quote that? I know I've seen that movie so much. He has so many great lines, but for some reason I can't come up with a great quote. Also, Jeff Goldblum, who's amazing too.
Oh, of course, yes.
When is he not though? I mean, that's not, you know.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm glad that Goldblum got a mention on the show. Yeah, no, I don't have too much more to add to that. I think that Will Smith, I only managed to get him in one of my leagues, but I'm glad I have him there. He definitely seems like the clear option from here on out. So our next bullpen is the Phillies, and they're in a bit of flux right now. But Victor Arano does have 3 straight saves for the Phillies, and he's got a 108 ERA in his last 8 innings pitch with a 0.96 whip, 8 strikeouts, and 2 walks. So, Ron, do you think are we getting any clarity here at the back end of the Phillies bullpen? Is it Arano?
It's tough, man, because they have so many guys that are so good. You know, we've talked about Adubre Ramos. We've talked about Sir Anthony Dominguez. And now you throw Victor Arano in here, and it's a good problem for them to have, especially, you know, with them looking like they might make a push here. I don't know if they're quite there just yet, but I don't know if there's really any clarity here, because you've seen Sir Anthony Dominguez get some saves. Arano's gotten a few in the last week or so, and you know, they both have high K per nine numbers. Both of them are above 10. They're not walking a ton of guys, and so I don't know if there's necessarily any clarity here just yet. I think it might be a case of you might see a few guys here and there get the opportunity until somebody kind of takes it and runs with it, or until somebody falters. You might see possibly see Ramos maybe get thrown in there too. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I'm going to throw my hat still behind Sir Anthony Dominguez. I think he's probably the best pitcher, and he's the guy I like the most in there. I like his repertoire. This year, we can clearly see that he's improved his walks per nine rate, and he's not walking anyone. Arano, of course, has a good walks per nine rate as well. It's just a little bit higher, 2.51 versus 1.71, so it's not a huge difference, but still. Arano's good, don't get me wrong. I just think it ends up falling to Sir Anthony Dominguez. And the other day with the doubleheader, Arano actually gave up the losing run, the home run in the first game, where Sir Anthony Dominguez had thrown 2 scoreless innings. And then in the bottom the second game, Arano ended up getting the save because Dominguez couldn't go after throwing two innings. So I think there's enough hearsay to say that it's still in flux. But I also will say that it's also clear that the Phillies are intent on using a committee. So they may never appoint or anoint a true closer. But if I'm going to pick one of these guys, I'm still going to stick with Sir Anthony Dominguez. But all of them are worth owning, especially in saves plus holds leagues. But even in saves leagues, just because of how good these guys are and the fact that they're going to really help your ratios. And, I mean, I'd rather own one of these guys than, say, a terrible fifth starter that you know is going to get lit up every time he goes out.
Indeed, yeah. I think I'm going to agree there. I'm going to stick with Sir Anthony Dominguez. He threw those two innings like a boss yesterday. I was watching that. Two perfect innings. And, yeah, like you said, he was just unavailable after that. So I do think that, you know, if you have an extra spot where you're just rostering a handcuff, as I always do, I do have interest in Arano. He is going to get some stray saves. And, yeah, I do think that it is going to be a little bit of an annoying bullpen, as maybe they do play with the matchups a little bit. But as far as whoever gets the rest of the saves, I'm still going to go with Sir Anthony, and he's also got the best name, so there's that. Let's see, we've got Sean Doolittle has hit the disabled list. He is going to Doolittle over the All-Star break from the sounds of things, even though he was an All-Star, which did you guys see that he tweeted Smash Mouth?
Yes, I did. That's amazing.
Yes.
That was very endearing. But anyway, Van, who fills in with Doolittle? Is it Kelvin Herrera?
It is, and I think he's going to hold the job down just fine until Doolittle comes back. And then when Doolittle comes back, he's the closer again. I think Doolittle's been pretty darn good this season. I'm actually going to look up his season numbers. I know they've been a little bit of grumblings about the chance that he could lose the job, but I know his numbers are really good. Yeah, 1.45 ERA, 11.81 K per 9, 0.72 walks per 9. He's really good. He's got the hold on the job.
He's an all-star.
Closer. He's an all-star, exactly. Obviously, he's not going to pitch in that game, but he's already said he's going to participate in all the festivities. But then,
home run derby.
Exactly, yeah. But I wanted to bring up a little bit of a story here with Sean Doolittle, and it's one of those things where a joke lands so well that it gets stuck in your head and you associate it with that player nonstop. And this came from the backup catcher, my former podcast. And we would play a game called Which Is More. Now, Which Is More was a stupid game where you would come up with the concept of like, whose OBP is higher, Chris Bryant or Mark Teixeira? But that's not how we did it. We would make it stupid things. And I remember one of them was that Brian, my co-host, came up with was, which is more, the number of times that Sean Doolittle plays Ride the Lightning by Metallica in the clubhouse or blank. And it was what the everything. But anyway, Ride the Lightning stuck with me and Sean Doolittle. So every single time I see his name, all I can think of is that Metallica song. And the great thing about all the MLB The Show games is that you can upload music for entry music or reliever, and it's perfect. It fits because it's a burning nail, burning nail, burning nail, burning nail. It's great. So Ride the Lightning anytime I see Sean Doolittle.
We're not going to get sued for that, though, too, are we?
I'm going to make that and a Will Smith song.
I was
going to
say, that was pretty good. That was excellent.
You knew what I was doing.
I knew exactly what you were doing. That was amazing. I thought James Hetfield had walked in there for a minute.
Lars Ulrich is yelling at us already, like, you need to pay us money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, not much to add. I mean, you know, the reason that you see teams go out and get these guys that are closers on other teams, obviously they want to boost the middle of the bullpen and they want to, you know, get a solid setup guy. But you also kind of do it as an insurance policy as well for things like this that happen if you're really in it to try to make a run. And we've seen teams, you know, this is what they do, and this is what the strength of teams that are making a run to the postseason is their bullpen a lot of times. So I think he's obviously the guy. He's been pretty solid since he's come over. He's had one start or one relief appearance where he's allowed two earned runs. Other than that, he's been pretty nice across the board. He was a solid closer before. So I think without a doubt it's him until Doolittle gets back.
Totally. Nothing else to add to that. I was just thinking about nicknames like Jordy Mercer, the Warhammer, coming from the Backup Catcher podcast. And of course, the Cicada. And it was bothering me. Yes, I realize that it's not every 6 years that Cicadas come out. I just wanted to state that, put it out there. I'm not dumb. Just kind of fits.
Some species do, though. There's like one species of cicada that like burrows underground, and then they only come out like every 20 years or something absurd.
I know.
Like
yeah,
that.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, it's a lot longer.
But still, I got the joke. I liked it.
But it fits, so.
Also, the Warhammer, real quick, the reason that nickname came about is we would play a game called Alias Without Jennifer Garner, where yes, we would go to baseballreference.com and look up players' nicknames and then tell the other person, like I would point out to Brian, I would say, okay, whose nickname is blank? And then he would try and guess what player has that nickname. It was a stupid game, but it was fun. So, except one episode, what I did was I came up with completely BS names. All five, we did five each, and I just made them up on the spot. And he was getting so frustrated because he didn't understand where they came from or why these were nicknames. And the one that stuck was the Warhammer for Jordy Mercer. And even so much that one of our listeners posted on Twitter a picture of Jordy Mercer with a Warhammer with his dad. And it's the best thing I've ever seen on Twitter. I love whoever did that. I'm sorry I don't remember your name offhand, but I love it. I saved that photo. It's, in fact, the background on the computer I'm looking at right now. So thank you.
Excellent. All right. Our next player here on the waiver wire is Andrew Suarez, who's over his last three starts, he's got a 1.42 ERA and a 1.10 WHIP. And over 19 innings, he's got he's allowed 15 hits, 16 strikeouts, and 6 walks. So, Robald the Magnificent, are you picking up Andrew Suarez?
Yeah, I actually picked him up in a couple of deeper leagues, mainly because of injuries. He's not a guy I was actively looking to get, but it was a guy that I think I added in when he had an ERA that was just a little over 4. And obviously, I think that's why he was out there. I think somebody had picked him up for his first couple starts and then ended up dropping him. And I was glad to grab him. Like you said, he's been really nice lately. When you look at how many earned runs he's allowed, he's not allowed over 2 since June 13th, which is solid. Now, you're not going to get a lot of Ks here, which guys you're going to get off the waiver wire unless it's some huge prospect that's getting called up and that you're able to grab. You're not going to find a lot of guys out there that are going to get you a lot of strikeouts. But ratios aren't bad, and like you said, Nate, he's been solid lately. So, yeah, I think he's a decent ad, like I said, but mainly the reason I got him was just because of injury purposes.
And what I'll say is that when I think of players, if I think of, say, a guy who's really overperforming in the first half, or he's better than I thought he would be in the first half, I think in the second half, it's worth noting that he could remain good and he could still provide a lot of value, but I think there's a bit of a course correction coming. And so that's what we call riding the wave. So right now we're riding the high wave of Andrew Suarez. I think he's a fine player. He was a 40 grade future value, so he wasn't exactly a top prospect, but there's some potential there. Like you said, Ron, he doesn't strike a lot of guys out, but he also doesn't walk too many. And I think his ERA right now, his FIP of 3.55, xFIP of 3.29, the ERA is at 3.75, that's what he is. He is a 3.5 to 4 ERA guy who's going to pitch a decent amount of innings for a team that desperately needs it. And, just overall not kill your ratio. So I think if you need some innings, you're in a league that maybe your starting pitching has been kind of questionable and you've been using a few more bullpen guys than you want, then yeah, this is definitely a guy to target. But if you're maybe, sitting in first place in ERA in your league, you might consider using some of those relievers like the ones we mentioned earlier just to keep your ratios in good shape. It's just worth looking at your team and seeing where you're at and going from there. And then I'm going to try to stop sabotaging the show, but I'm going to ask one last question.
Good luck.
Where did you find this gnome, Ron? You just sent us a picture of a Sean Doolittle gnome with a Metallica shirt. That's not real.
That was a stadium giveaway they did a few years ago when he was in Oakland A. Yeah, that, I immediately thought of that when you had that out there. That's something I'm looking to add to my in my glorious collection one of these days. But yeah, that's an actual stadium giveaway from the Oakland A's.
So maybe Ride the Lightning is accurate. Maybe we should start a Twitter thing where we try and get him to make that his music. So when he comes back, he comes out to Ride the Lightning.
Ooh, let's do it. All right, everybody out there listening, everybody is going to have to tweet at Sean Doolittle. He's not going to be doing anything for the next 10 days anyway, except looking at his tweet. So everybody get out there and tweet Sean Doolittle. We got to find his handle.
I'm going to do
it.
Tell
him to get Ride the Lightning on there.
I'll look that up. But why don't you talk about Andrew Suarez?
I got to talk about Sean Doolittle for it. Like, he was actually on the cover of, like, I want to say Metal Hammer magazine or something like that.
No, he
probably
wasn't.
A couple years. I swear to God, yeah. It was one of those heavy metal magazines. I don't remember if that's the exact one, but he's such a huge metalhead that he was actually on the cover of one of those magazines.
I wonder if Brian knew that when he came up with that joke. Either way, it's super fitting. That's amazing.
Yep.
I think the Twitter handle is at what would do. That's WHATWLDDOODO. So look him up, send him a message. When I can focus on that, I'm going to do that after we record the show. But maybe we can barrage him with that. Also, his picture is of Luke Skywalker with Yoda on his back when he's training, except it's Sean Doolittle's head. And that is amazing. I'm starting to love Sean Doolittle throughout the process of this.
His Twitter account is actually amazing, and his wife is amazing as well. Like, she tweeted the other day when he was announced as an All-Star that, oh, and congrats to my husband who was invited to the dunk contest or something.
That's amazing. I'm following him right now. I hit the button. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get Ride the Lightning as a song. Man, if he were in the All-Star game and we could get him to do that, that would be the best.
Yes. All right. I feel accomplished now. But yeah, Suarez, I'm a little bit lower than you guys on him. I think he's got a lot of negative regression coming. He's really not good against righties. You know, as a lefty, that's often the case. But 350 weighted on base allowed so far against right-handed hitters with 46% hard contact allowed. So when teams start just stacking righties against him, that ERA is going to balloon in a big way. And he just, I think that if you're expecting even an 8K per nine, that might be reaching a little bit too much because he just doesn't miss a lot of bats. 7.5% swing strike rate, 30% O swings, not terrible. But I just see a total back end like streaming guy in good matchups here. Let's see, we've got Jorge Polanco is up next, though, and 29 at bats for him, which is the same amount as Mark Reynolds the last 2 weeks that I pulled here. But as opposed to Mark Reynolds, who is hitting .483 with four bombs and 13 RBI, Jorge Polanco has started out slowly, .241 average, no homers, one stolen base, two runs, three RBI. So Van, I mean, obviously he's on this list based on the track record of what he did last year, not over what he's shown us over the last 2 weeks. But are you picking up Jorge Polanco anywhere?
If I need the help in the middle infield, absolutely. I mean, he's not a superstar. Last year in 544 plate appearances, he only had 13 homers and 13 steals. But conversely, I could say that as he had 13 homers and 13 steals. So for a guy that didn't cost you anything, yeah, I mean, you got some decent counting stats. He had .256 last year. That's not going to kill you. This year, .241. So maybe there's a little bit of room for improvement. He's not great, but he's a guy that you can plug in your middle infield and get some numbers. So if I need the help, I'm absolutely going to go after him. But temper your expectations and do not expect, you know, a really great baseball player. Just expect someone who's okay, and you'll do just fine.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same thing here. The only place I'd really target him is if I need hopefully I'm not starting him as my starting shortstop, but if I can put him in my middle infield and maybe get, I don't know, 6 to 10 homers for the rest of the season, 6 to 10 steals, it's fine. I mean, he's only owned at 54% of Fantrax league, so he's still out there in the majority of them. You might want to move fast, though, because he's trending at 9.8% added. So if you do want to add him, you might want to run out there and grab him. But I don't know if there's a lot of place I need him. But once again, it's kind of like what I said before with Andrew Suarez. You know, if you have injuries in your middle infield, he's a fine replacement. I think he'll be okay, but he's not going to kill you, but he's not going to win you leagues either, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, he's not a huge difference maker. You're looking at 14, 15 team leagues, I think, before he really becomes attractive. I've had no problem this year finding middle infielders that are worthwhile. Or struggling to find those guys to fill in pretty capably in 10 and 12 team leagues. So I think you're looking at pretty deep mixers before Polanco becomes really a guy that you're looking at. Although I do think that he'll be better moving forward than a, you know, .240 average. I think he's easily a .270, .280 hitter with a little bit of power and speed. So he will be useful in deeper formats. But moving on now, we've got Jordan Zimmermann from the Tigers. He's got a .120 ERA over his last two starts, which spans 15 innings, just 9 hits allowed, 17 strikeouts, and 0 walks. So, Ron, just a hot stretch here from Jordan Zimmermann, or are you seeing something with him that has piqued your interest?
I don't know necessarily that I'm looking to add him in very many places, but I will say it is kind of interesting that he's kind of throwing back to the Jordan Zimmermann of a few years ago, where he was actually a sought-after commodity in fantasy. That's been a while ago. I don't know necessarily if this is going to be a sustained bout of success. There's a few things that I like when I look across the line. There's a few things I don't like. I'm always – one of the stats I always bring up is the strand rate. That's a big one for me. His strand rate's only 65%, so that's something that is a little sketchy to me. He's not a big strikeout guy. Never been a huge strikeout guy anyway. But I think you can trust him in a deeper format, FIP and XFIP. looked pretty solid. You know, FIPS sits at 3.05, so it's actually a little bit underneath his ERA. XFIPS at 3.84, so it shows there might be a little bit of a variation from what you're getting now to the end of the season. You might, you know, might see the ERA climb up a little bit. But I mean, the only thing is about the Tigers too, they're not going anywhere, so you might see. You might not get a whole lot of wins there if that's a stat category you're looking for, because I don't know if I really trust their offense a whole lot. But overall, I think he's an okay deeper league ad, but I wouldn't – you know, he's kind of like Jorge Polanco with me. Once again, I don't think he's going to win you leagues, but I don't think he's necessarily going to kill you either.
You know, the first thing I looked for was his velocity. I wanted to check that, and it's actually down this year, even from last year. Like, he's throwing maybe 92 to 94. Whereas in his prime, he was hitting 98, albeit still not striking any batters out. So the velocity is down. So that's kind of worrisome. But if you look at his pitch, good.
Look at here, see?
Yeah. I can't even talk. If you
looks at his pitches there, sonny.
Look at his pitch mix. You can see that he's clearly changed how he's pitching this year. The fastball usage is down to 40%, whereas even in 2016, he was at 52%. So he's really dropped that fastball usage. The slider's way up. It's up about 10, 15% over the last few years. And we've seen a lot of guys who have done this, Patrick Corbin being a key one. Chris Archer, this is his whole career, where it's primary slider usage. We've seen them change to this and become pretty good. So I think it's entirely within the realm of possibilities that he's figured out a way to pitch off the slider instead of the fastball and is a new pitcher in that regard. So I think there's a chance he's a 3.5 to 4 ERA guy. I think I'm very cautious about that, and I'm probably not ready to jump on the bandwagon. But if we see, you know, maybe 5 more starts where he's putting up this kind of ERA and these kind of numbers, then sure, I'll buy right in. He's a guy I'll take in DFS if he has a bad matchup. But for the most part, I'm not quite ready to jump on the bandwagon. But we can see that there is a change in approach for him.
Definitely, and I'll add to that change of approach, and that's what actually has me really interested in Jordan Zimmermann, is over his last 2 starts in particular, he has jettisoned up the use of that curveball, and combined with the slider and the curveball, over 47% of his arsenal has been those two breaking pitches over the last 2 starts, and he is getting a ton of whiffs on each. On the year, the curve's getting 14% whiffs, and the slider's at 19%. And so that's where the strikeouts are coming from. And so if he continues on with this, you're not going to get any walks from him. He's always had great command. And so you actually, if you sprinkle in some strikeouts, you know, maybe even a hefty amount of strikeouts, then I'm suddenly really interested. And so I even picked up Jordan Zimmermann in a 12-team league. And so maybe in like 10-team leagues, I would, you know, I'd consider him a streamer yet. But pretty much everywhere else in deeper leagues, I'm picking him up for sure if I can. So Tyler Anderson is our next guy, Van. He has gone 8 shutout innings in each of his last 2 starts with a 17-3 strikeout to walk ratio. Any interest in Tyler Anderson?
Not really. Now, the reason being is I tend to avoid, you know, 28-year-old Rockies pitchers who are basically middle-of-the-rotation guys. The only Rockies guys I want are ones that I know have really, really good talent. And he's not one of those. He's got good stuff. It's okay. But that means he's going to play at best like he's playing right now, which is a 3.9 ERA, 4.2 FIP, 4.14 XFIP. I think this is really the best you can hope for him. And I think there's probably going to be less success going forward. I think he's more of a 4.5 ERA guy. It's entirely within the realm of possibility that he's better than he was, but I'm not quite ready to buy into that. And it's a guy that I'm probably just going to avoid simply because it's not worth the headache to worry about starting him at home versus away versus picking when to start him. Then I just don't want to deal with it with a guy like this. He has to be really good for me to want to do that. So I'll stay away.
Yeah, I think you might be able to go out and get Andrew Suarez and be able to start him a little bit more than you would Tyler Anderson. And Van, you kind of made my argument for me. I'll dig into the numbers here a little bit. But, you know, what you said about, you know, he's a typical Rockies pitcher. He's better on the road than he is at home. ERA at home is about almost a full point higher. He's got a 3.44 wOBA against at home. He's given up 9 homers in 47 and a third innings at home, as opposed to just 6 in 54 and a third innings on the road with a 3.48 ERA. So once again, not somebody I'm looking for because I don't think I'm going to be able to start him all the time anyway. I'd feel really leery about starting him at Coors as I would most pitchers that they have in that rotation now in Colorado, which I don't think I have any of them, to be honest with you. We saw John Gray and we like his stuff, but we also know John Gray wasn't very good at home either. So no thanks on Tyler Anderson. I think I'd rather have Suarez and I'd rather see if Zimmerman is out there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Tyler Anderson ranks number 91 right now for me in my Razzball top 100 starting pitchers. If that gives you any idea of just how excited I am on him, you know, at least he made the list. It's kind of hard to do for any pitcher in Coors, but, you know, he's overall just a decent overall pitcher. You know, the changeup is really good. He's got an excellent 10-mile-an-hour velocity gap between his changeup and his fastball, and the changeup gets 18% whiffs as well. Just a great pitch, but you know, and I think that does give him the ability for success at home because we know that those breaking pitches tend to break a lot less at Coors. So maybe he can have a little bit of sustained success there. But overall, he's just kind of a meh to me. I don't really see any change like with Jordan Zimmerman there. So our last guy, favorite of the podcast, good old Matt Harvey, over his last three starts, a 150 ERA and a 105 whip. 18 innings pitch. He's got 17 hits allowed and a 12-2 strikeout to walk ratio. Ron, are you adding Matt Harvey anywhere? Is he fixed?
I'm not, but what I will say is, you know, we make fun of Matt Harvey and we talk about, you know, how he got traded from the Mets and how terrible he was, but you have to kind of give it to him. I mean, especially since June 15th, he's been serviceable in a lot of leagues. Now, he's not going to pitch a lot of innings. He's only reached six innings a few times here. Other than that, you got 5 2/3, 5 1/3 here. So not going to get a ton of Ks there either. Once again, maybe another guy that's reinvented himself. I don't know, but he's not allowed a lot of runs the last few times out. He hasn't allowed a home run since June 8th, which for him is big because that was kind of one of his weak points going on. I don't think it'd have to be an ultra deep league with a lot of guys on the DL for me to look in Matt Harvey's direction, which, by the way, Hat Marvey sounds legit like a member of the 1890s Cincinnati Red Stockings. About it. So, anyway. Yeah, no thanks on Matt Harvey.
He certainly does. Oh, Hat Marvey here. He throws a wicked screwball.
Boy, howdy, that Hat Marvey.
Okay, a couple things about Hat Marvey here. The velocity's up, where he's up about 2 miles per hour over the last couple of weeks than he has been in forever. So that's a good sign. However, the point that I've said about Harvey and what he needs to do is he needs to do what Jordan Zimmerman's doing. He needs to do what Patrick Corbin does. He needs to quit relying on his fastball. Clearly, it's not getting the job done. But guess what? He's still using the fastball 63% of the time. As long as he continues to do that, he's not going to succeed. If he gets that fastball usage percentage down to 45-50% and then uses maybe the slider, the curve, whatever it may be, a little bit more, the changeup even, then there's a chance he could be better. But since he refuses to do that, and I don't know why, I don't know what's going through his stupid fat head, but he will not get off the fastball, which is bad, he's not going to be valuable. I picked him up in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League because I'm in 12th place, and I could just use some innings, and I hope this is for real.
No, that's
perfect. I mean, I hope it's for real, but I also am totally fine if he just keeps giving up runs because it'll keep me low in the standings, and I can get a good draft pick out of it. But yeah, no, I don't really buy into him being, quote unquote, as good as he has been. But even with these last few weeks and these last few starts, his strikeout rate is still really low. So, and like I said, until he fixes that pitch usage, I have no interest in him.
Yes, and you know, it is of interest that since he has moved to the Reds, that slider has started working a lot better for him. Before the trade, he had just 8% whiffs on the slider, and ever since, it's been at 19% whiffs. So that slider has really gotten better somehow. I don't know exactly what he's doing. He's locating it a little bit differently. I was looking at his heat maps, and he's actually throwing it in the zone a little bit more instead of so far, you know, down and away. So I don't know if it's just because he's pounding the zone more that he's getting more success with it. But either way, he does need to throw that pitch more because he doesn't have a whole lot else. And until he can remedy that fastball, then I don't see him having real shallow mixed league value. But at least he is not horrible now, so you can look at him in deep leagues. But that is going to wrap us up. Let's see. We got some plugs to get out of the way, Van. What do you got coming out this week?
As I mentioned earlier on my FantraxHQ.com article, I'm targeting some closers that you can go after in the second half. Names include the guy we talked about earlier that I already forgot, Will Smith, And Brad Hand is on there, which I thought was kind of a sneaky thing to do because a lot of people expect him to get traded. I do not. I think he's a Padre for sure. I think anybody that gets traded in that bullpen, it's going to be Kirby Yates. I think they gave Hand that contract because they want him to be there because they think they can compete in a few years. So I think a lot of owners might be a little wary of him getting traded, so maybe you can steal him. But anyway, keep an eye out for that on FantraxHQ.com. Of course, we also have the Fantrax Dynasty Baseball podcast coming out tomorrow as well, or today if you're listening to this, and where we go over yours and Eric Cross's top 50 prospects mid-season, and I also do the Launch Angle podcast with Rob Silver and Jeff W. Zimmerman. So check us out on FantraxHQ.com as well.
Ron. Yes.
Yeah. That was a nice R roll, by the way. That's very good. Yeah, I go that.
Didn't you tell me I sound like a platypus when I did that last?
Yeah, you sound like Perry the Platypus. Perry.
That's yes, right, from the Funk and Ferb or whatever.
Phineas and Ferb.
That's it.
It's like probably my favorite kids show.
Pointy heads and their science and the Dr. Goofenshmirtz or whatever.
Yeah.
It's quality television. So it is. So yeah, obviously I got what do I got coming up? I got the Fantastics player recaps Friday morning from Thursday night, so check those out.
Make that shift?
Yeah, I was gonna say if I remember to do it this time around, you'll see those. If not, then I'll probably be fired by then. yeah, I have an alert in my phone, so that shouldn't happen. Anyway, let's see what else. Oh, football-wise, Bob Long and I, no podcast this week. We'll be back next week with the Consistency Football Podcast talking about tight ends. The guide is out. Go get it. If you use my promo code Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E, get a little bit of discount on the guide.
Why?
That's in reference to my favorite player in the NFL right now, Jack Doyle, who is the tight end for the Annapolis Colts.
That sounds like a journalist who's going to crack the story. Jack Doyle's on the case now.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons I like him a lot. But, yeah, he's probably the best prospect as far as fantasy points on the Colts this season.
I was thinking that it was in reference to the O'Doyle family who does rule.
No. Definitely not. So what else I got? Oh, yeah, we got the, like you alluded to, Van, the Fantrax Dynasty Baseball, the second half of the prospect recap, which I hosted. So you can tune into that and listen to me butcher the out of that. So, yeah.
Very good. A little bit of a different schedule for me. Well, not really. It's kind of the same schedule, I guess, for Friday. I've got my Fire Nice over on Fantrax HQ. Saturday at Razzball, instead of two-star pitchers because of the All-Star break, there will be no two-star pitchers. Instead, I'm going to be going over some first half All-Stars and duds and kind of prognosticating what I expect them to do in the second half. And, of course, Sunday still will be my typical top 100 starting pitchers. But I also wanted to do two quick shout-outs before we got out of here. One, for the Fantrax Dynasty Baseball podcast. If you want to find my midseason top 100 update, it is at my Twitter. I've got it pinned on there. So you can just go to @NathanDocking to check that out there. And if you want to look at Eric's list, just go to FantraxHQ.com. And he's got it broken down everywhere from there's a 101 to 150. And then he's got a couple different ones chronicling his top 100. He actually put notes in his. So I just put my list out there with some colors. That's all the more effort that I put into it. But I also wanted to give a shout out to Patreon donor Dave Anderson. Well, actually, shout out to all of our Patreon donors because you guys are freaking awesome. And you have helped us out a lot. So kudos to you. I feel like we don't shout you guys out enough, but particularly to Dave Anderson, who sent me a book this past week, Fantasyland, a sports writer's obsessive bid to win the world's most ruthless fantasy baseball by Sam Walker. And so I've just been kicking into that and have been really enjoying the first couple chapters of that.
Very nice.
So I would recommend that to everyone else as well.
Yeah, thanks a ton to Dave, all our Patreon sponsors. We love you guys. We appreciate what you're doing. Except for Jesse Jordan, we could care less about you. But everyone else, we do love.
Best part is he doesn't even listen.
Exactly. So I can say whatever I wanted. Does not look like his voice should be. Like, if you look at him and then you listen to him, I do not put those two together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For whatever reason, it just does not gel for me.
Oh, I could kind of see that. Well, you've got enough gel in your hair, so.
I generally do, and I have a lot of hair, so that's a lot of gel.
That's right. You can just crack open those Tide Pods and rub it through your greasy hair.
Indeed.
I do that, but it just runs right off.
Right. It doesn't look very well. You ever thought about getting a toupee?
I'd like to, just as a joke, to wear to school one day, because my students will tease me about it, and I'm like, you know, I think, because they've offered to buy me one before, and I kind of wish they would, because I'd rock it if you here and there, just as a joke. Yeah, absolutely.
As big as Ron's head is, he needs a three-pay. Am I right?
Oh,
because I need that to cover my five head.
Exactly.
Because I don't have a four head.
Brilliant.
I say it all the
right.
time.
On that note, let's get the hell out of here. We'll catch you guys next week. Until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.